Portland's Veterans for Peace Chapter 72 observed Armistice Day this November 11th instead of the traditional Veterans Day hoopla. This year, Veterans for Peace in Portland invited the general public to join in their annual Circle of Peace on Veterans Day. The ceremony began downtown at Pioneer Courthouse Square just after 11 a.m. today. This report begins with a conversation with Veterans for Peace President, then segues into the Peace Circle observation with a reference to the laying down of arms, the armistice, that in 1918 ended the Great War in Europe.
I'm Grant Remington, President of Veterans for Peace Chapter 72, and we've discussed this three or four months ago throughout our executive committee and our chapter meetings on how we would get together for Veterans Day. And last year we did this also, a very small gathering. And so we just put the word out. We talked with Tom Hastings. He helped us last year. In fact, I think he got it going last year, but he gave it over to us this year. So we just put the word out, and we've got a lot more people here today than last year, so we're happy. An armistice was signed for a ceasefire on the Western Front. It was to go into effect on the 11th minute of the 11th hour. We have about 6 minutes to go. Remember that. When it's 11:11 today, I'd like you all to pause and reflect for 2 minutes, as many other countries in the Western world do today. In England, the whole country stopped and had 2 minutes of silence. The whole country stopped. People got out of their cars and remembered that the killing stopped on the 11th minute of the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the war to end all wars. Unfortunately, it didn't. And again, we're embroiled in a war which should never have happened. We have to remember war is obsolete. We have to wage peace. After we have our 2 minutes of silence, we're going to play taps for all of those fallen in the line of duty. Then I'll introduce Sean Lewis, Treasurer of Veterans for Peace. He's going to read a little work that he wrote for Veterans Day today. And when this is all over, we have a petition we'd like you to sign that we're asking the Governor of the State of Oregon, Governor Ted Kulongowski, to officially proclaim November 11th as Peace Day in remembrance of Armistice Day. After the hour is up, Sean has the petition. If you'd like to sign it, please do. Our time, Malcolm.
It's 11:05.
You can talk amongst yourselves, and I'll let you know when it's time.
Grant,
yes.
I have time to read
the
piece before 11:11.
Sean Lewis is going to read his Veterans Day editorial.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. Okay, this is an op-ed piece I published at BuzzFlash.com today. It's called Veterans Day 2005, Keepers of the Peace. Veterans Day is more about honoring militarism than it is about honoring veterans. The military parades with tanks, bands, and flyovers are the harbingers of this celebration of our militaristic culture. Honoring veterans, on the other hand, does not require trotting out weapons or Sousa marches. But how do we truly honor our nation's veterans, that class of citizens who, for whatever personal reasons, have chosen to give up a measure of their own civil liberties for the sake of protecting our nation and the civil liberties of the rest of us? What is the best way to honor those who have served? In recognizing Armistice Day in 1926, the U.S. Congress declared it should be a day of prayer and reflection in recognition of the peace attained by veterans of the First World War, the war to end all wars. In 1938, when Armistice Day became a federal holiday, President Roosevelt reaffirmed this commitment to the day dedicated to peace. After the Second War to End All Wars and the Korean War, the holiday was changed to Veterans Day in 1954 to honor all of America's veterans and their efforts to bring peace to the world. In the words of President Eisenhower, we were to, quote, reconsecrate ourselves to the task of promoting enduring peace. Unfortunately, changing the name accomplished more than intended. With peace removed from the name of the holiday, without armistice, this day that has been set aside by much of the Western world for the purpose of remembering veterans and honoring peace has become a day to instead honor the wars we have fought and the military establishment that has kept us either in war or at the brink for more than 50 years. Across the United States, groups of veterans are turning away from the marching bands and the military parades. They are shying away from these symbols of war and are turning instead to each other. Veterans in cities all over the country are gathering together to hold their own humble, solemn ceremonies to honor their fallen comrades and each other. In Portland, Oregon, Veterans for Peace are for the first time inviting the public to join in an observance of Armistice Day, a day of reflection and a time to teach peace rather than war. Signed, Sean T. Lewis, Portland, Oregon, Disabled American Veteran.
You all have 2 minutes to reflect on the losses and the costs of war so that we have no more.
This is a silent prayer circle. Arms are not joined. Some heads are bowed. Expressions in the crowd are solemn. 60 or 70 people here.
I'd like Tom Hasty to come and read a short piece written from back in that time, I believe. Tom, you want to introduce yourself and what you're going to read?
I'm a Portland Catholic worker. We're devoted to nonviolence and serving the victims of war or the war system. This poem was written by Wilfred Owen, and he was a young man from Britain fighting in the trenches in World War I. And he was a poet, and he saw the reality of war, of those terrible trenches, of rats feeding on decaying dead comrades, of every kind of disease and corruption, and of the true nature of that war. That war was about 90% military casualties. It was a military-to-military conflict. The wars now, beginning with the Vietnam War, in the 20th century, that ratio flipped. Then 90% of the casualties were civilians. And it's not any better now. Now with our high-tech surgical weapons. So now the taps blow for civilians as well, because they're the majority of casualties. Owen, along with a number of other young Britons in particular, wrote a lot of anti-war poetry, even as they were fighting for their lives in the trenches. This poem is called Dulce et Decorum Est. Bent double like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, We cursed through sludge till on haunting flares we turned our backs and toward our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshot. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf, even to the hoots of tired outstripped 5-9s that dropped behind. Gas! Gas! Quick, boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time, but someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime, dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you too could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face, like a devil's sack of sin. If you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of bile, incurable sores on innocent tongues, my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce et decorum est pro patria mori, which means it is sweet and fitting to die for the fatherland. What he was saying is, you back home can hear about the glory of war. Those of us on the front know that it's very, very different. And when I watched the footage and the testimony of U.S. soldiers about what happened in Fallujah, we are using chemical weapons, which is what he's writing about here. The world has outlawed those weapons, and we've just used white phosphorus in Fallujah, and some of those victims were civilians. It is time to honor all of the dead by stopping the war now and starting the peace now. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We're here for anyone who wants to bear witness, talk of what they've seen or what they feel. It's a good thing to get it off your chest and to speak the truth. For the truth is a noble cause, and we should always speak the truth and not listen to the lies of those who would send us to war. The forum is anyone who wants it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now over 4 years ago since that tragic day of 9/11, y'all. My hope, at first I was so much for the war, and then I seen through the war. And when we changed to Iraq, then the administration showed its true colors. They have, y'all, not only brought an unjust war, but they have brought, y'all, a form of racist, y'all, and hatred and bigotry, y'all, has almost been never seen 50 years ago of today's of old Jim Crow. And it's our job, y'all, to unite together, accept all religions and faiths, y'all, as one, as we're all one people, and to love our fellow men. And we must, y'all, put this administration down for their fraction of the Constitution. Grant once said, y'all, is for me, it is my duty to speak, y'all, justice shall be done, y'all, in this land. No government will suspend any person's equal rights or freedoms, y'all, because of their race or origin, y'all. And we must, y'all, put our foot down in this government. No more, y'all, class or race, y'all, on Muslims or any, y'all, class, because our government, y'all, says they are a threat. This is America. The flag still stands for freedom and justice. The rule of law has to be honored, y'all. Honored, y'all. And that's what I want Vice President Cheney to hear. Thank you.
I know y'all already heard me once, but I want to say a word about these boots. These are my boots. And for those of you who may not be aware, a pair of empty boots standing at attention
and military culture stand for a fallen soldier, someone who has died. These boots represent not only those who have died in direct action, but those who have never been counted. Those who committed suicide after they got home. Those who died of Agent Orange exposure through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and today. Those who have died from depleted uranium exposure. And in my heart, they also stand for all of the civilian victims who had the misfortune of living in the wrong place. When I talk about the uncounted, I'd like to keep in mind the official counts of American war dead from Vietnam was just over 58,000. We've lost more than twice that number since the end of the war to Agent Orange exposure and suicide. And when I see these boots, I also think of my friend Adam, who served in the Gulf with me and killed himself 6 months after we got back.
Or whatever, we get flyovers from pigeons and seagulls. I think we're luckier, but yeah. Watch your head.
I have a poem. It's called Bush 101, The Formula. It says, you've helped the rich, you starve the poor, and now a grief-stricken mother screeches in horror because a soldier with a flag is knocked on her door. The blood-covered dollars you exchange for her son, banked by friends at Halliburton. Your Bush lies kill, you know they do. Fuck you, George Bush. Fuck you.
Thank you.
I need to say this to all you children. When I was 17 years old, I joined the military. And I thought I was going to get a training that would do me good when I came out of it. Well, it's 30 years later, and I still don't have the skills to live like an American. Okay? Don't believe the lies, because you guys are our future. Don't believe and teach your friends that they're not going to give you no skills that's going to do you any good today. Because the skills they gave me when I was in the military was no good 20 years prior to my enlistment. I'm a veteran. Enjoy your day.
I have a flag with me which represents not the nationalism of our country and the lies that we're told in order to get us to go to war, but I'm waving the flag today for all those people who did go, who were misled, and who were willing to give up their lives for the rest of us. And I just want to say thank you.
I'm a veteran of the Korean War. I didn't see action, but I lived in Japan for 47 years. I came back to the States 3 years ago, and I went to the atom bomb museum in Hiroshima. It's very graphic. You have pieces of bodies that have been A-bombed. You have the skin of people. You have just the photograph of a shadow of a man. That's all that's left of him after the A-bomb. They have a memorial there. It's a city of peace. And I think, of course, we should have a peace day. But we should also urge the government or get together and have a peace memorial of our own in Portland. Thank you.
Tragedy of World War II was the internment of Japanese Americans who were citizens of the United States. And there is a history museum of that down in Old Town, which might be a good place to take your students. But it's an eye-opener for anyone who wonders how we treat our citizens who don't happen to be Caucasian.
name's Randall Hallington. I served 10 years in the United States Marine Corps Reserves in Idaho and here in Oregon. I was activated during the first Gulf War. I was fortunate not to see any of the action. I think it's important for us to not just focus on urging peace during time of war, but we must also look at the mechanisms that bring about the aggressions that are put forth upon this world by our country and by our leaders. There is a massive collection of industrial forces that only has one goal: to produce weapons of destruction. The money that we spend, the taxpayer money that is spent on this endeavor, is more than enough to solve almost all of our great social problems of homelessness, poverty, lack of employment, lack of training. We must all find a way to keep our tax money here, local, to solve our problems here, to get the vets from all of the wars off of the streets into quality housing with the education and the experiences needed. March 4th.
We're standing in the middle of a circle, must be about 30 feet in diameter.
You all have thoughts. Somebody step forward to share.
We're the lucky ones. We're connected to a group that gives us hope, that gives us an opportunity to mean something, to make something of this craziness that's going on. And I urge all of you to reach out, because there are so many people there that are looking for the message that we have. I was talking to Annette, and she says that people there were amazed that there were people who were standing up for truth, that they didn't realize that there were so many of us. So if you have an opportunity to go to a vigil or something like this, bring a friend, or just go out and stand on a street corner with a sign so people know that they're not alone. I go out every Saturday from 11 to 1 by Lloyd Center, and so many people come up and say, thank you. We didn't know that we weren't alone. So spread the word and give people hope, because together we can make a difference. Thank you.
I was served as a medic in Vietnam in the late 60s. I just joined Veterans for Peace, Chapter 72 in Portland, Oregon. But I have been a veteran for peace since my feet touched American soil when I got back from Vietnam in 1970. I would like everyone to redouble their efforts to work for peace in this world. We have to understand that the enemy is not our brothers in other countries and our sisters in other countries. The enemy is the capitalist system that makes people rich by engaging in war, that rewards people and industry to kill and mutilate other human beings. So we need to join together with people all over the world and fight for peace. We can do that by speaking up, by getting out at rallies like this. We also need to promote a Department of Peace as a cabinet-level position in the executive branch of the United States government. We're spending close to $400 billion this year on the Department of Defense. We're spending $350 billion on everything else in this country. There's something wrong with the balance here. So we need to take the wind out of the sails of this war machine that we've got in Washington, D.C., and in boardrooms of the defense contractors all over this country, okay, and put some money and some effort into a Department of Peace to promote peaceful solutions to the problems that we're going to confront in the world. We owe it to those people over there, to the young people coming up in this world. We can't afford to stand by silently and let them lead us in to this depravity called war. That's all I have to say.
Going to be on TV though. I was hooked to the 4-4 program. They only paid for a 2-year degree and then they ditched me. So you're looking at a Marine that ain't down with the U.S. government. That's all I got to say. Later. Excuse me.
In 1965, I was in high school in the San Francisco Bay Area. At that time, the conversation between classes and any spare time we had was about the war in Vietnam. It was hot. There was the draft. And all of us that were middle class and not very well off financially knew the probability of being drafted into that senseless war. Many of us couldn't understand it. Many of us thought it was wrong. I, for one, thought it was very wrong. And yet, a year later, I found myself in the military, in the Army. I won't get into the details, but I spent a lot of time in military hospitals, at Brooke Army General, in Texas, in Valley Forge, in Meade. I saw a lot of amputees, traumatic head wounds. I worked in the medical corps. I saw injuries where you could not see any entry or exit wounds. People lined up daily to get drugs to help them cope, morning and night. War destroys people, it destroys hopes, it destroys families. It is the failure of civilized society when we engage in war. I'm against war. Thank you.
And a woman who both served their country in World War I. I am the daughter of a man who served his country in World War II and still bears the shrapnel in his leg from the Battle of Bastogne as he was a paratrooper. I am the first wife of a Vietnam veteran who was so troubled and tortured by what he saw and experienced in Vietnam, that life was too difficult for him to bear sharing with another person. I am also a person who protested passionately against the Vietnam War, never knowing the hurt that I was causing to people who were serving in what was an unjust war. Because of being raised by people who had served their country during the military, my knowledge and learning and deep felt, heartfelt passion against war is something that I have had with me all my life. I know that not everyone feels that way. I know that people come to wanting a sense of peace from different directions. I see the pain, I hear the pain every day of people as I walk the streets of Portland who wish and pray for all of us to live together as honored human beings. Thank you for each of you who have served our country, who have cared enough to make it possible for me to speak out every day of my 56 years. And thanks to those of you who will continue to speak forward as the days continue.
If you missed any of the speakers here today, this will be on the KBOO front page, an audio stream of everything you can hear the words of.
I'd like to hear from the young people to find out what is happening in the schools. What are the military recruiters doing? What are they telling you? We don't have recruiters in our schools.
They lied to me.
But they do hang out at Walmart.
I just was, you know, riding down here. I'm a Vietnam veteran, a lucky one. But I was just riding down here, and I was listening to KBOO on the way down here. And this is really to what the lady said about the young people. These if the Army recruiters here come.
What school are you guys from?
We're an alternative school. We're just 24 students. They are all over our high school. Our high school is very, very low income. They are calling our homes.
Oh, really?
Trust me, they're everywhere.
They don't come to us. Don't have to put up with it. Tell your friends to stand up to them and ask for the contract.
Well, before that interruption, these young kids took hidden cameras into the Army recruiting office and they taped them. And they had the recruiters were saying that over 1,500 people died in the four counties around Dayton, Ohio, in automobile accidents. They were suggesting that you had a better chance getting killed in Dayton, Ohio, the four counties around Dayton, Ohio, than you would in Baghdad. The fact of the matter is that there was 1,500 people killed in 1 year in the entire state of Ohio, which is a lot different than, the 1,500 people were killed in 2 weeks in the four counties around Dayton, Ohio. So they're going to lie to you to get you in there. And they lie. And it's regrettable, but adults lie. And don't go. Don't get involved in it. Just say you're lying. Or if they come, just say, I'm not interested. Because it's a lie. And this country is a real nice country to stay in and not be a soldier. You don't have to be a soldier. It's a good country. And one thing, I mean, you don't have to do all of that. You don't have to follow the military. You know, nobody cares. You wouldn't have to do it. Just be, if they ever come to you, just check them out.
So what happens if one day no one is a soldier? Then
we won't have any protection. You know, the one gentleman that said the Department of Peace, maybe if we have that by that time, we won't need a whole lot of soldiers.
But the world is never going to come to peace if there's too many people, I mean, that don't want it.
Well, there's bad people, but I think that... brains makes it right. I mean, you can be smarter than the...
What do you think about World War One?
Well, I guess it was awful.
What about World War Two?
Well, I'm sure it was awful if
they're
you were
all
there.
Awful.
Okay, well, I wasn't. But I'm a soldier.
Yeah.
Is this Matt?
Do we think that this may be one of the people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. The Marines promised me 4 years in college. They only gave me two. Perfect grades. Yeah, they lied to me.
One of the things that was not discussed when we're talking about war is the environmental damage. In Vietnam, they dropped 8 times the tonnage of bombs on that country than was used in all of World War II. I believe it was 120 million tons of Agent Orange was spread across that unfortunate land. Coming up on December 7th will be a tour of Vietnamese who are victims of Agent Orange. We'll let all of you know about that through the regular channels. But my epiphany came when I was out at the dump behind the air base where I was stationed, and I saw the abject poverty of the people in Vietnam as they picked through the trash that we were throwing out so they could get a little morsel of food, maybe out of an old sea ration tin, or collect tin cans so they could flatten them out and put them up on the walls of their hooches to stop the rain and the wind from coming in. It's the human cost of war that we have to recognize and fight against happening anymore.
My name is Malcolm Chaddick. I'm programs chair for VIP 72. The other day I read online on Arianna Huffington's blog that Hillary Clinton was overheard talking to an aide, and the conversation went something like, "No, we don't want a plan for getting out of Iraq. If we propose a plan, it can get shot down and we could look stupid. Instead, what we'll do is we will let the Republicans fall apart as they're doing, and we will just wait them out, and then we can point to them and say, well, see how they screwed up? The fact of the matter is that neither party has our best interests at heart. We, the people, are a resource to them. We produce the things that they sell, and then we buy them, and they make the profit. And this war is using munitions that we, the people, make, and they sell, and then we go out and use them to kill ourselves and other people. Neither political party has our interests at heart because they are one. When you see a politician telling you that it is necessary to attack a country because they are dangerous to you, take a look at the sources, because we now know that they're willing to lie about that to send us to war in Iraq. When they say, "Let's go, people, let's go fight them there so that we'll be safer here," take a look at that and think a little bit. If they were so capable of attacking us here, they would have done so already, since they hate us so much, right? Remember, 9-1-1 had nothing to do with Iraq, but we're there. 9-1-1 did have something to do with Saudi Arabia. Most of the hijackers were Saudi Arabian citizens. We didn't attack Saudi Arabia. Why? Because they're friends of ours. I had a conversation the other day with a gentleman who claimed to be working for the government as, I believe, a counterintelligence kind of guy. And I asked him why he thought that it was so great that we had gone to Iraq, and he said the thing about how Saddam Hussein was such a bad guy, and the world's better off without him. Well, I can't disagree with that. Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, and the world is better off without him. However, Mugabe is a bad guy, and we support him. However, Noriega was a bad guy, and we installed him, and then we took him out when he was no longer playing our game. Saddam Hussein was our guy, and we put him in place and gave him weapons to fight in Iran. But when he wouldn't toe our line, or it became advantageous for us to take him out, we did. And we sucker-punched him, too. We told him it was okay to go into Kuwait under the table, and then over the top of the table we slapped him down once he'd done it. The only people who are looking out for us are us. The only people who are looking out for us are us. And some of us are in office in some places. But they're not the ones who are running the show. And we need to get us running the show. Only vote for the politicians who espouse your ideals. To hell with who's more electable. Only help and volunteer the people for the people who are running for office who espouse your ideals. And if they don't follow up, then you've got to hold them accountable for it. If you want the system to work as it is, you have to be in it. It's not a spectator sport. It is not football. It is not hockey. Democracy is a participatory exercise, and all of us are charged by our citizenship in this country to participate, or we lose whatever it is that we think we should have. Get off your ass, people. Rome is burning. Grab a bucket.
One more thing on what he was saying. Bin Laden was a bad guy, but you know what our president did? He flew Bin Laden and all of his families out of the country 7 hours after those towers fell. We went after Bin Laden in another country when the whole time he was released by our president here. Impeach our president, you guys.
My nephew in the army spent 1 year in Afghanistan and about 10 months in Baghdad. And last year at 19, he was buried forever at Willamette National Cemetery. The best way to support our troops is bring them home and stop creating new veterans.
We called this gathering for an hour so we could remember and witness. I'd like to thank you all for coming. I'd like to leave you with this one ironic note. That is Veterans Day today throughout the country. But yesterday, the leadership in Congress, after 55 years of having the disabled American veterans as the spokesperson to the Joint Veterans Affairs Committee, talking about the issues, what kind of budgets they should have now said, you're not appearing anymore before the Joint Veterans Affairs Committee. We don't want to hear you because you might criticize the administration. After 55 years, I call that tradition, and I call that a value, but they just broke trust with the veterans yesterday, and how they can now celebrate Veterans Day is beyond me. Thank you all for coming. Go to work. Wage peace. Wage peace. And now, over here, if you'd like to sign the petition asking Governor Kulongowski to proclaim November 11th as Peace Day, as it was in 1918 through 1954, please do so.
Where are the women in black at noon on Friday?
They are down at the federal building.
And Code Pink?
Code Pink? We have a few Code Pinkers here. They didn't show up, you know, but it was not really a demonstration or a protest. We didn't want signage and all that. It was basically to talk about peace and the injustice of war, and just to gather together and talk and be amongst our, you know, fellow peaceniks.
Any chance you will use some kind of amplification next year?
Maybe next year we'll have such a large turnout. Yeah, we'll get a permit and have amplification.
The Peace Circle observances ended just before noon. I'm Glenn Owen, KABU Web Weekend News and Public Affairs.